Welcome back to Making Conversation, a podcast that features conversations with artists and designers about the journey from bright-eyed newbie to fame monster. I am your host, Justin Ulm, and this is my co-host,
Sean Choi, the scapegoat.
And we are here today with
Jace Kim.
Y'all.
I like that. Oh, that was a good introduction. Yeah. I'm ready.
Yeah, we we're doing our best to keep this interesting.
Best regards.
Episode 7.
Wow, 7. Yeah, lucky 7. Mm-hmm. I got lucky 7.
Lucky 7.
Lucky number 7.
Yeah. Turning into a disaster.
And we're not doing any advertisements or no sponsors by casinos or anything for this episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe from next episode.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah. Start pulling
out. Sponsored by Google and Apple. Right.
Yeah. I'm going to just read an intro that we wrote for you.
Yeah. I revised it a little bit at the end.
Yeah, just for all of our listeners tuning in, we had Jace read over what we wrote about him just to make sure it was all true. But now I think we've settled into something that resembles the truth.
Yeah, halfway was scrapped.
Thanks for trying.
We want you to be featured.
That feels good.
So spring of 2009, Jace Kim graduated from Emily Carr University with his short film animation Zero, a beautiful emotional tale of revenge. He was featured in 5 international film festivals and segued into digital painting for the gaming industry. Jace now works as a digital painter/artist at The Sequence Group.
Yes.
His work there involves cinematics for high-profile games. At The Sequence Group, he has contributed to console projects such as Halo.
Shit!
For all our gaming nerd fans out there, that's serious business. And he recently had a group gallery exhibition at the Aiden Gallery called Featured, with his traditional oil and acrylic paintings. And he's also running an art studio in Surrey where he teaches art.
Yes.
Crazy guy.
Well, I am.
Very sexy.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
Yeah. Man, that just feels so good to read.
Yeah.
A lot to do with Halo, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah. I feel like I'm in the presence of greatness right now.
Mr. Halo. Yeah. On Jace's Blogspot, he writes, "My goal is to learn and gain knowledge of today's visual art industry. Encountering experiences and new people would lead me to find creativity and originality." Is this true, or are you just trying to sound cool?
I wrote it when I was just looking for a job. Yeah, that was quite...
So just 100%
sort of
bullshit.
Typical, I just copied it from probably Google, typical Git resume. But actually, I've been trying to search my creativity and originality as an artist. And then that's probably the reason why I went to Emily Carr. Probably the same reason for both of you guys. I mean, the reason I chose to go for school, Emily Carr, was to sort of realize what art is actually all about, and then just wanted to find something that I can truly enjoy to do, right? Rather than just getting a job.
Cool.
So,
cool. Are you originally from Vancouver?
I'm originally from Korea.
No
Seoul.
Shit.
Yeah. No north. South. Yeah. South. Yeah. Capital city. I came here when I was 15.
Nice.
And I'm actually turning 30 next year.
Oh, yeah.
So which is going 30. To be, yeah. So I lived half of my year in Korea, and then I become to leave half of my whole life in Canada. So balancing it up. Yeah, I should mention something about I came from Korea where I was highly influenced in manga. Comic book. I think that sort of got me into art.
So more so manga than Marvel.
Yeah, more manga. Yeah, not Western Marvel or DC comics. It's more of a manga comic.
Like hentai and stuff.
Not really. Yeah, obviously everybody once got through Dragon Ball.
Yeah,
Dragon Ball for sure, right? So that was one of the really high my favorite comic. Mm-hmm. And I pretty much read my like daily life is part of my daily life, which is go to the comic book store every day, just like looking at the comic book, what to buy. Because my parents are quite open mm-hmm. about like they don't really mind me spending so much money on comic book and stuff. So mm-hmm. I was fortunate enough to just buy whatever I feel like, and then that's why I was. And then after I read those mangas, I just like mm-hmm. try to make it for myself.
Okay,
so on nice. Just a piece of paper. Obviously, the quality of it is quite bad, but I sort of try to mimic what yeah. they do in a manga.
Yeah,
and put it into my own. So I think I was quite anxious to storytell yeah. in that sense.
Cool.
Even from the beginning of my sort of artistic journey, I guess. Yeah.
Cool.
Cool. Sexy stuff.
Yeah. So how long were you drawing manga, I guess? Do you still draw manga?
No. I still do once in a while. It doesn't really, I don't create the text. I mean, the storytelling, I just doodle.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't draw, I don't create that sense of storytelling.
Not a full blown
narrative.
Yeah,
I don't use the medium. Yeah, I don't use the storytelling medium. I just sort of, I think I sort of abandoned.
You use your sadness as your medium.
Yeah, I use my emotion to express and then.
Nice.
But I don't really do. But I think I was drawing until like high school, maybe, like grade 10 or 11. And then when I came here, as I said, I didn't have that many friends or anything. I was a bit introverted. I didn't have any depression or anything, but I was quite, I stuck in a house just drawing, like spending a whole day just like making manga. And then that's actually how I got recognized from school. I just tried to show it to my non-Korean friend. They're like crazy about how I end up with making this kind of stuff. They're
cool.
Like, I mean, so that was, I think that sort of got me keep going, right?
So you had a strong interest in drawing, I guess, through high school.
Yeah.
And then after high school, what did you do for college or for your education?
So basically, I just realized that it is a good thing to go into Emily Carr. I was suggested. I was recommended. So I was started taking art a little bit more seriously. And then I tried for admission, just Emily Carr. And then what I submit for the portfolio was just a bunch of drawings and then nothing, no concept whatsoever, just doodles, pretty much like my comic book stuff. And then obviously I didn't make it into.
Oh, right? They didn't.
Yeah,
you.
So I didn't get in right away.
Oh, interesting.
So yeah, so I failed basically. I don't want to say, it sounds quite harsh. Just, I think that failure was actually the really good motivation for me to like start thinking about art seriously. It's not about only to show. I think it's more to do it art, you know, like conceptual value of it. Mm-hmm. I think that's what Emily Carr was looking for. And then I wasn't actually catching it anyhow. So I went to art institute, I mean, sort of like small art, Korean art studio, Sean also graduated from.
Oh,
that's
really?
That's how we all got to know each other. Yeah.
Say hi to Mr. Song.
And I went there realizing that, okay, maybe. Then this is what I need to do in order to get into Emily Carr. So I prepared my portfolio pretty, like I think I did a pretty good job. I tried really hard because once I failed, I just wanted to come back, right?
Right.
So then I got in and then realized, oh my God, everything I thought what needs to be good in art, it's just, Emily Carr just like tortured me down. I wasn't conceptual at all, but I was trying, although I was trying to, but like foundation was such a hard thing. Like it was such a hard year for me because just like, I just began to realize this is the true concept of art. And so that's why I felt like most of the time I felt like I'm not suitable for this school. So I fortunately got into second year. And then that's where I sort of realized, okay, maybe I can do animation.
Yeah.
Because I was really into manga once, and then I was sort of into sense of storytelling, and then the medium of storytelling, animation, you can still use it. And then there is a lot of confusion. I think still many of people misunderstand the fact that animation is a lot to do with anime, but anime and animation is such a different thing. It's just anime is a Japanese term, right? Mm-hmm. They call animation the style of it. It's a style of depiction, not actually movement. The animation we learned from Emily Carr, the first, second year of what I learned from Emily Carr was like locomotion, pretty much like studying a movement rather than how you stylistically draw like Japanese manga character.
Mm-hmm.
So I was also slightly misunderstood. And then, okay, maybe this is not the way I should go either.
Mm-hmm.
But I somehow got carried on.
Yeah.
And then I had to do a grad film.
Mm.
And I just wanted like, okay, Jace, I told myself, Jace, you don't have to do animation anymore, but just make a good grad film.
Yeah.
Because that you never be able to make grad film ever again.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, your life. So
yeah.
Make a decent grad film and then be satisfied with it. Doesn't matter whether you were going for animation as a career or not. So that's why I made the short film called Jiro,
mm-hmm.
which somehow, luckily, I got some recognition out of it.
Yeah, but, you was featured on like 5 international film festivals.
Yeah, I mean like international.
Luckily.
Unfortunately. I mean, like, yeah, one I got selected to TIFF, like Students Showcase,
mm-hmm.
like Toronto International Film Festival.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was the biggest thing. I was actually funded to get to Toronto.
Mm.
They pay me all. And then so it was like great sort of turning point for me because like after grad, I get the sense of recognition and then, maybe I can do it, right?
Yeah.
So I earned the confidence in it.
So is that the turning point when you became so cocky?
No, it's quite funny. I think I became quite cocky too.
Really?
Seriously, because I thought, maybe I could
do it. That was an unexpected answer.
Yeah. I was quite cocky that I earned too much of a confidence that I thought I could just be a good animator or maybe just filmmaker.
Mm.
Like, sure. I mean, Emily Carr, I like everything about Emily Carr. Don't get me wrong, but like Emily Carr, there is a lack of technical.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
definitely.
They don't provide much of technical stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why I didn't acquire the tool that I had to have after graduate in order to get a job. But mm-hmm. getting a job is different from being an artist and being a filmmaker, right? So I think in that sense, I was also lacking in a lot of aspects of technicality.
Mm-hmm.
Then because of the reason I got selected, I thought I was good enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I was cocky, but it was misunderstanding.
The animation was really good.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
There was a lot of rotoscoping. Some of the listener probably know what rotoscope is. It's like you draw on the top of the, so I basically film myself and then I draw top on the top of my movement. That's rotoscope. That's a term.
Cool.
But there's a lot of stuff that I made it like there's a lot of transforming like sumi style transformation. That's all sort of animation too.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
it's like how you collaborate that aspects into your own like animation. That's sort of the style that I was going for.
Yeah.
Rather than just making animation from scratch. Not like Disney or like Japanese anime or whatever that they create from scratch, right? And then make it still realistic.
Yeah.
Whereas I did a little bit of that, but not mainly. That's how it was. So yeah, I was struggling a lot in terms of getting a job.
For the film festivals that picked up your film, did you submit your film to those festivals or did those people find you? And
Actually, the one that I got selected, we got the whole year from Emily Carr. We just got to do it. That's sort of tradition. Oh. Every year, submit your... it's sort of mandatory almost. Like you gotta submit to see whether they pick it.
Mm-hmm.
That one was the first one I submit, and then I got suggested because of that recognition. Like some other people get to see through that festival, and then just recommend me to apply for it. So I apply for a few other ones. I think I got
accepted.
No, not all of them. I got. I didn't make it to the few other ones. I submit quite a bit.
Mm.
But sadly, that was the actually last film I ever made. I never made any other short film.
It's kind of hard after you graduate. It's hard to do any like this. Do a personal project.
I mean,
it seems like with animation, you know, to put away the time, yes, I guess, so that it is involved? Like, how many hours did you have to spend working on Zero?
Zero, I think it was including post-production, because we working for a year. Family Car Program is just a system. I mean, it's structured as a one-year program, a one-year preparation. Mm-hmm. So you do concept, you talk about like all those shots and stuff, and then it's like everything, even art statement. We talked about it, and then for the first half of a year, and then you get to into the production. So it's like a 6 months of production. I think I spend like average like 7-8 hours a day, like nonstop. Because it's one by one. Like my way of doing was just, you can see it from Jiro, I think it's just hand drawn. So it's all, I did it in Photoshop, but actually it was literally done in, like I had to use tablet, my Cintiq tablet, yeah, or Cintiq, so a tablet pen to use it, do it. So it, there's a lot of labor working, obviously. That's why it was hard to get a job, even because a lot of industry going for 3D. And also, mm-hmm, they want more flash animation rather than like hand-drawn traditional animation. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I was actually, that was my next question, was like we're really curious to hear how you transition from like school to the industry, and like obviously having your film in all these festivals helped, I'm assuming.
Yes.
But how do you get your work out there and then like land in the industry, as an animator? I'm curious to hear, like,
first of
how
all,
that went,
yeah,
for you.
Yeah, first of all, you have to have a good portfolio, right? Good demo reel. Yeah, that's a sort of obvious sort of answer. But for me, it was quite different, because people usually do their grad film and then they got a job out of that. But I was actually looking for a job that is not necessarily what I can get from my film. Like, so it was true that it helped me getting recognition, but it doesn't necessarily help me anything to do with getting a job. So I didn't really get to have, I was actually, I wasn't unemployed, because I was working through the whole time already. I was working in a studio where I graduated from, the Korean studio. Mm-hmm. I worked as an assistant teacher there for pretty much entire time in Laminate Car. So mm-hmm, through the first year to fourth year, I was making money by teaching. And then after graduate, I realized that, oh, I can still make more money teaching than doing an animation. So
comes to a realization after 4 years of education.
Yeah, 3 years of education, you finally realize that you can still make, you could have just made,
you can make better money.
Better money even from the beginning. That was quite hard. I mean, it was quite hard for me. I was quite stressed out because of the fact that, not because of the fact that I couldn't get a job. I was quite stressed out with the fact that the value of what I learned is not as worth as what I was looking for. I mean, like, but that's why I was quite disappointed.
Yeah.
Then that sort of changed my mind to go for something else. Since I know Photoshop pretty well, and then I know how to, like, making look traditional painting in Photoshop, I just wanted to. That's why that was a time when concept art became sort of hype, like a trend. They're using Photoshop paint to make it paintery, like traditional painting. Yeah. So that's sort of the good transition I could make, because I know how to use Photoshop well. I tried to do that, and then so that was actually like I did a few. I was working for a small company doing animation, but the pay was bad. It was just horrible sort of circumstances that I had to work with. So I was working for a few indie game company too, and then like I was actually like in the production of making a few games, but it never got published or it never really make any money, because I was like doing more of a profit sharing. So I worked on it, and then if it doesn't get published, then you don't even get any money, because it doesn't, your game is not, doesn't even exist, right? So
it's like a little sweatshop in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm actually I'd be interested to hear like what one of the most ridiculous things you had to do as an animator was.
Animator wise,
until you got your current job.
Yeah, ridiculous. About, there was like a one project that was, I was actually getting paid for one mission complete. So it wasn't just like I wasn't getting paid hourly. It was like I got paid for just if I do the job well.
Oh, okay.
So I was making a game sprite. So like one animation movement. If you do that, that one animation, if you make it, it's like $20.
Yeah. Right?
Which is, I happen to spend a little bit more than 2 hours. That makes almost like 10 bucks per hour. I'm quite direct. I think I'm too explicit about like the price and everything. But the reason is that I was actually told to do one job of like making an animation sprite. And then it was $20 per just the one animation. And then I spent about three hours. Mm-hmm. And then somehow the director didn't like it. And then that director just told me to move on to something else.
Yeah.
Instead of paying me. So my 3 hours of work was just nothing, right? It's not probably about money, but I deserve what I had done, right? But it was so harsh that just like he told me to just move on to something else, even not getting anything out of it, right? So I actually argued with the director and then. Then I came to another realization that, okay, maybe I shouldn't just work for money because I didn't really like what I did either. So, and then just how I was treated, I think wasn't really something that I deserved. Because I was actually making more money just teaching too, literally like making way more money teaching. So that almost got me even more stressed. So, but I think that was the worst thing because I don't really fight or argue with anybody. I'm a really happy human being. I'm very nice and kind. Yeah, I'll probably have to explain this again why my paintings are so dark sometimes. So it's kind of related to that. But that's probably that's the worst thing I ever had experienced. Yeah.
So we know now those days are behind you. You're working at the sequence group.
Yeah, yeah. You're just really lucky
hitting that silver lining. Yeah. And I guess we know that your role there is like digital painter / artist.
Yeah.
Can you like elaborate on that? Like, what does that really mean?
Oh, yeah. Actually, because when I was actually got a job in Sequence, I got a job as a digital painter / concept artist. Mm-hmm. So concept artist, actually, you're an artist who are like, it's more of a designer. So concept designer, you're designing the concept or maybe just the game character's costume or character's mechanical devices, whatever it needs to be, that you sort of designing something from scratch, right? Mm-hmm. Which is going to be used. It's like industrial designer, but it's you're making a product or game or the character, right? So that's what concept art is supposed to be. So, but the reason why I said just the / artist is that I didn't really get to do much of concept art work. I did more of a digital painting job. So because Halo, it's actually the production is going with the Microsoft, which is in Seattle, right? Mm-hmm. The 343. And then Sequence is actually the Microsoft is actually the client of Sequence. So Sequence is actually working the slight part of the whole bigger project that Microsoft is working on, right? So, and then I was the one of the artists who are in that, a little bit of part of big project, right? Mm-hmm. So I shouldn't brag too much about it because I'm not trying to be humble.
You're bragging for 2 years.
No. I'm not trying to be humble. Halo, the title is actually it's fancy. And then it's recognized. So people, just simply say, oh, I work for Halo. And then people, oh, really? That's the sort of impression people give to me. Mm-hmm. And then like, but yeah, I really love what I did in part of the Halo project too. Because I learn a lot. Because I never study anything as a digital painter or a concept artist. Everything that I did in Sequence was something new and then something I didn't know about. Like, so it was sort of like, it was really good turning point that I just realized that these things are needed to become a concept artist, a painter. Mm-hmm. Instead of just, oh, I know a bit of Photoshop and then I know how to do paint. Right. So that doesn't really make you a digital painter or concept artist. So that also sort of got me into another realization that this job is not suitable for me. This job is not suitable. Okay, this is quite a bit of a twist that, I mean, like, I really love what I do in Sequence. I love the company, but I don't particularly love my job.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Because regardless of the fact that I'm working for Microsoft and big project.
Should we edit this part out?
No, it's okay. Like, I think it's my I should be mm-hmm. true to myself. I mean, I love Sequence. I love working as a like working there, but I don't particularly like the title. As
make
a
sure they don't
artist.
Listen to this podcast.
No. Digital painter. I just didn't like because the fact that I had to spend every single day at least 8 hours mm-hmm. looking at monitor for an entire day, and then you're pretty much set to do what you're expected to. Sometimes there's a really like it, but it's a cycle. When it becomes a cycle, but it's undeniable. Like you guys all probably went through. Like if you're mm-hmm. working for a company, you're working for money. Mm-hmm. So everything you produce is in
formula.
It becomes really hard. I mean, those are people who listen right now as a starter. They probably have to experience how hard it is to realize that something you were once passionate about is not something you can truly enjoy.
Yeah, it's right? like, fuck your ego, just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I felt like I became more of a tool. It's not that Sequence was... No.
Became a tool.
Yeah, I'm a tool of the society.
That, no, the working environment-wise and everything Sequence provided me was awesome. Like, I love everything. I love my art director. I love everybody there.
Wait, do you like your coworker?
Yeah, they're great.
You're not that's getting bullied or anything.
No. That's the only reason I continuously work at Sequence other than any other company, because I know them pretty well and I know them so well. And I know that we care each other as a friend too. They're not only just a worker, right? So, but in terms, speaking of becoming a tool, like I felt like not
that's a strong word. I'm a tool of my own.
I think we can all safely say we're tools.
Because I think it's just my. I think I realized that I'm becoming a tool. It's not that somebody else was making me tool. I am making myself a suitable tool for the company where I feel so naive about myself also. Like, and then I don't get to challenge myself as much. And then because I was gradually losing this interest, like the passion of becoming a concept artist or whatever,
maybe
digital
it's
painter.
Because it's like too repetitive and like too comfortable.
That sort of came back to me. I came back one day from 8 hours of like Photoshop working. Mm. I touched the traditional painting. I did the acrylic painting. Because I've been, through the whole time I've been teaching, I never stopped teaching for entire 8 hours, 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I was teaching. And then when I was teaching, instead of just teaching, while I was teaching, I also do a little bit of acrylic, oil, everything, right? Traditional paintings, right? But I just wanted to do for myself. And then I just took out my canvas and then I painted it, and then it felt so good about it. I felt so good about the physicality of paint. Like, I don't have to think of it as a digital, like it's so much different from digital medium. Digital medium is so good, we can undo. And then there's the things that
command Z,
or there's like a short keys and every, it's really well, like greatly provided for artists to save their time. But that physicality, which I took it for granted, and I came back to realize that how do I feel so good about this? Like, whoa, it's so different from going all through. So entire year of working in very city companies and as an animator, and then working as a good companies like Sequence, all this time, all these memories put together into that one moment where I made a single stroke on the painting that, okay, I'm making quite dramatic, but that's so
orgasmic moment.
Yeah, I mean, like literally, like maybe I was quite surprised, and then that sort of got me back the passion.
Mm-hmm. Spoken like a true artist. Maybe we'll pivot right now.
Yeah.
To use a very businessy term in the middle of a podcast about art and business, I guess we've been talking about. But we'd like to talk about your painting. And so we noticed that you actively participate in local art events like Snag and Art Battle.
Yes.
What motivated you to get involved with these events?
Somehow I did one piece, and then this one piece got me sort of a recognition from like online like magazine, art magazine somehow. So I got a lot of like views and stuff. I got a lot of followers and Behance and all this stuff. And then somehow this guy who's friend of mine, his name is Andrew Young. He's the actually creator of Snack. Mm-hmm. He sort of contacted me through Facebook. And then he asked me if he can join me, if I can join the Snack, the weekly live painting event. This is happening in Cobalt in Vancouver every Wednesday. It's actually happening right now. I feel sorry that I couldn't go, but
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
but
shit.
We
should have recorded this live at Snack.
Yeah. Could have been good.
That would have been pretty badass.
Yeah,
you just have like the wireless lapel on while you're painting. We're just talking to you, you know?
Yeah, that was good. But anyways, that
sipping beer.
So I did it. That was like sort of my first live painting ever in public space. So. And then I got to do more Snag, and Andrew just called me more times. And then later, somehow, I became to do a first sort of group exhibition called Feature in last April.
Yeah.
Because that was also, it was happening in Aiden Gallery, created by Andrew. Andrew
Andrew.
Yeah. Thanks, Andrew. And I don't know
Andrew Young, man.
Too. Yeah.
Let's give him some props.
Yeah, Andrew sort of, so he sort of got me into that exhibition thing, so it was really good chance for me to get a public exposure and then throwing down my name to the local sort of art event. And then somehow another guy called Bill contact me later. He's the curator of Art Battle in Vancouver. So it's just like it's a lot of throwing name down there and then just people catch it. People catch my name and then just like they appreciate my art more than what I expected. And then they somehow sort of dragged me to this event. So every opportunity, I never let it go. I never slip away. It's just like if somebody tells me to do something related to art, then I just...
Gotta do it.
Yeah, gotta do it. You gotta do it. So,
what's Art Battles exactly like? Oh, is it like fighting with canvas?
Yeah, Snag is just a live painting. Like 3 hours of live painting. You just like not, you can do it not intensively. You can just relax, drink beer, talking to people, walk down, and then just like you do the painting for 3 hours, and then later we do the raffle to randomly choose anybody who buys the ticket, who bought the ticket for that night, and then we picked up the number, and then that lucky person gets to win the art.
Do you feel like a strong need to be a part of a creative community, or are you happy to just kind of paint in your studio or draw on your couch?
That was initially how I felt. Like I thought, just because I just love doing painting, so I just think, okay, whatever, I just do it, right? But once I realized that there's a lot to do it, like socializing socializing with a bunch of people and then like throwing your name out there, it's a lot to do it as an artist. I think nowadays, I think artists has to be more businessmen, kind of like very sociable and then easy to talk to. And then
create your Facebook page.
Yeah. And then, social network. And
I think
if you're so introverted that you don't really get to talk to anybody and then your work is so good, you're just genius. So you gotta be good, right? But it's not only about how good your work is, like yourself as also reflect your work, right? So I think in that sense, I think it's really a great opportunity for me to get a chance that I could become became part of that creative sort of group, right? And then very artistic people. So because I didn't know that there are people like me, but I found that there's a lot of people who are actually working as a worker who non-related art thing.
Yeah.
I'm lucky that I do art-related things.
Yeah.
There's the people who are working in construction and then doing art every night, and then they're selling their art. They become really famous out of it too, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, Vancouver, I think it's a really very arty, but there's a lot of creative people with the crazy talent, but it just, I don't think there's enough sort of enough doors for us to knock and then get into. So maybe it's not obvious, it's good, but it's not as good as New York or Toronto, even in the same country, right? So, but it's building, it's getting bigger. I mean, things like Art Battle, Snag.
Whenever we see your like paintings, they're more so dark and emotional.
Yeah.
Like, is there, like, do you usually set the theme before you actually get into work? Or, like, what's your process like?
I don't know whether, if you get onto my online website, there's a lot of pieces that are based on my instinctive human emotion. Like, I try to as I just said, it was more like screaming. So it was my language. I just have to express.
Yeah.
So I don't really plan things much. It was sort of like very instinctive moment. I felt strong desire to paint. And then when I do it, it somehow sort of personified into a portraiture, like rather than just like random abstract marks. So to describe my process, I do more of an abstract stuff first, which is more spontaneous. Yeah, I shouldn't say it's abstract because I think it's more deconstructed because I don't want to look conscious. Mm-hmm. I don't want to make it so like idealized. I rather want to just draw paint down and then just want to see how it turns out. I want to just drip water and then see how they put together into a texture of tissue paper. And all this spontaneity somehow worked through. And then out of that, I see a portraiture. Because I love to draw human face. Then I highly depict in detail that it almost looks real.
Mm-hmm.
So it creates the contrast between what's sort of the deconstructed background and more of a constructed and a conscious. So they actually represent sort of myself in a way that background, abstract, deconstructed background is the subconscious of myself. And then the portrait is sort of my ego, like very egocentric, very realistic side of myself.
Yeah.
So it is actually symbolizes a conflict between, not literal fight, but like conflict between my subconscious and ego. Yeah. And that's pretty much the theme of my, but subject matter wise, is I don't really care. I just don't really worry too much about how it's going to turn out.
Yeah.
But actually recently I'm trying to do more of a structural and more planned out stuff. So I start with the drawing and then just turn it out into a painting. So, but yeah, so that's pretty much, that's my biggest motivation.
Yeah. You seem to work like across some different mediums.
Yes.
For you, is the medium the message, or do you see the medium as like a secondary part of your work, or even something that you don't even care about? You're just like trying to convey emotion.
Actually, it's nothing to do with the theme of it, but actually my medium, as I said, I run a studio, right? And then it's a lot to do with my laptop, like my students' laptop or painting. I use them.
Oh, really?
I use them, throw them down. And then most of the canvases that I got is some laptop work from my students. Actually, I got some from Sean's girlfriend too.
She
I
had
actually
to Erica.
Painted on the top of her piece. So it's actually a lot to do with abandon. Like, I don't want to point out the idea of abandon medium, but it's thrown away. So tissue paper even is just garbage, right? So the idea of recycling is, it's not the main point of point of my work. But it's something to do it because it's also part of myself. Right?
Yeah.
As I said, it's a reflection of myself. So like every single, even tiny bit of whatever becomes part of who I am.
Interesting.
That's I think is something to do it. Medium. But medium-wise, I'm comfortable with acrylic or an oil because that I need the strokes, brush stroke-wise. So the reason I changed the acrylic to oil is that oil has the richer sort of texture and quality probably many of people know. And then also it, because of my painting is, it consumes a lot of time that it's quite a bit of labor work too, but that's why it's oil. I rather want to do oil because it dries it takes quite a bit of time to dry. So I rather want to fix it out and then just like render it out more.
Yeah.
Whereas acrylic, you have to make a bunch of layers on the top, right? So
do you have any plans to do exhibitions of your work in the future, and why or why not?
I am not actually scheduled to have any exhibition yet, but I'm looking forward to do anything. I think was the last 2 weeks ago, last Friday, that I just got into this group exhibition, just a day one. One day exhibition.
Yeah.
And then my friend just dragged me into it. But I had so much fun. And then like people mm-hmm. love my art. And then just being there and then getting to feel that there are a lot of people who really appreciate my art. It just mm-hmm. doesn't matter whether I sold it or not. I actually sold one piece too. But
yeah.
That's the important part.
Yeah, helps.
Yeah. Your night out.
Becoming part of that atmosphere, I think it's just a great thing to become being an artist. Mm-hmm. I think so. That's why. But I don't have anything planned, as I said, but I'm looking forward to anything that I will be doing. I'll probably do more art battle and then snag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Besides your animation and painting career, like you said, you also teach at a studio. Like, yep. How did you get into that teaching? Like, is from your past experience from your first year in university, or?
Yes. So actually, as I briefly mentioned before, that I didn't make into MA card in the first attempt.
Yeah.
And then I went to this art studio where I graduated with Sean later. Mm-hmm. But that studio, I got lucky enough to work in my first year foundation in Elementary Car. I was like helping. I was an assistant teacher, and then I was also sort of doing an independent tutor. Because mm-hmm. I'm Korean, and then the Korean community. Yeah. There's a lot of secondary school, and then parents are quite eager to spend expensive like money for their kids, and especially. But that's why I could become a part of it, and that I could pay for my tuition and everything.
Yeah.
I could possibly maintain. I was making pretty well. I mean, good money even in full-time schooling.
Yeah.
I was working quite hard. I was mm-hmm. working for two studios and doing an independent mm-hmm. tutor at home.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing I felt like that's why I wasn't trying that hard on animation, because yeah. I was like,
making millionaire.
No, not great money, but I was making decent money. So I wasn't too focused on the schooling. Then I was, ever since that, I graduated from it. As I said, I didn't get a job. So I continuously did it. Mm-hmm. And then the way the teacher from the studio that I worked, and the way I teach, our teaching theory is quite different. And mm-hmm. then that's why I wanted to just go out. It's not like betraying or anything, but just I had to do it for myself. And then once I wanted to do it for myself, I was questioning myself whether I was a really good teacher or not. I mean, I wasn't. I don't think it was necessarily teaching. I think it was more helping. Through the whole time, I don't consider myself a teacher because it's not, I think I was.
Because he's a tool.
Yeah, I think I was a tool too at the studio. I have to. Sometimes it's quite harsh that you have to just to do a work for your student, because your students is lacking in certain way that you, instead of just teaching to make that student get to that level. It's sometimes so hard to do it in a short period of time. You mm-hmm. just have to literally touch on your student's painting and work.
Yeah.
Which I felt quite guilty about all the time, but I was forced to do it because that was my major role as an assistant teacher. So once I got out of the studio, I didn't want to actually want to teach anymore. But the reason that I had to make money and then having a stable sort of financial status.
Yeah.
Now I am actually at very great stage where I can just teach whoever I feel like they desire to learn.
Yeah.
It was before it was more like, oh, I got to make money, so I teach. Now I'm like, okay, if you want to do it, I convince the student. If the student doesn't want to do it, then I let them not do it. All right. It's not, if it's not your way, you got to be true to yourself. If you don't enjoy this, it's going to be really hard for you to maintain.
That's such a classic, like teacher student moment, you know. Like I found I had that with a lot of art teachers.
When I was doing
my design education.
Right,
it was
right,
like,
yeah.
Oh, you want to be a photographer? Like, well, I'm going to tell you about how hard it is to be a photographer. You know, like,
they shouldn't really tell you that.
Yeah,
no, they fully disheartened me, and that's why I quit photography
Shit.
And went into design.
Yeah, I mean.
Because I was like, well, I don't want to work with a bunch of people that talk about how hard their lives
are. Yeah, I mean, like, whoever got to listen to how hard it is and they still tried, and yeah, but like, it's really wise thing to quickly change your mind. I think if it doesn't go, mm-hmm. then I think it's also wise that you go for something else, right? Obviously, yeah. if you're
Shit,
not.
Yeah, I gotta quit my job tomorrow then.
Yeah, I mean, like,
it doesn't go well these days.
Do I have to edit this part out?
Hello, my boss.
Yeah, but yeah, Sean, we gotta watch out. We're not tool anymore. It's okay. Yeah. It can't work.
Libert myself.
For the record, I am not a tool. I am an intellectual problem solver. Who would be considered many tools.
Yeah. But I don't think the term tool is necessarily bad.
No,
I mean,
it's a great term.
Yeah.
It means that you can do multitasking. I
mean, no, because a tool is only fit for one use, right?
Oh,
so. Right.
Unless you're a multi-tool.
Versatile, yeah.
I'm more of an office slut, so.
You need to be like the screwdriver that has multiple heads.
Awfully sexual now. Maybe it's too cocky thing to just say, because some people may be out there who are willing to get a job so desperately.
Yeah.
Wanted to become an even tool, right?
Yeah,
so
that's true.
Yeah, I mean, you can't just, it's so hard to say.
It's weird because like there definitely are those jobs out there where it's like, we need you to take a PSD file and translate this thing into a WordPress theme. Yeah, like that's a tool.
Yeah, that's like, a tool. That's, at least there's no creativity at all.
You could almost write a piece of software that could just do that thing.
Yeah.
Like, and then that's just a tool, right? Instead, they just hire humans instead of writing that software.
Yeah,
so it's interesting. One of the questions we like to ask all of our guests on the show is, we're wondering if you ever have like a feeling of discontent, and like, what are some of the things you do, or like that you've wanted to do in your creative practice, but you haven't had the opportunity to take on, if you have discontent.
I have many anxiety. even as I said, the painting was sort of, that there was somehow I was subconsciously anxious to just do it, right? I have many things that I wish I could do. You know what? Maybe I really wanted to make my own comic book published. That's actually what I want. It's mm-hmm. going back to my childhood. And then like the, if I think about all this memory, I had that when I was so young, I mean, through like 7 to 15, I think half of the times I was making comic book and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I still have those like really crappy quality comic book that I may happen to make in that times. And then when I look back and see, I wanted to become comic book artist so bad. How come I am not comic book artist yet? So, which I could possibly be, but... Yeah, but that's because I think it's in reality, it's not so easy to do.
I feel like just hearing you talk about that, I'm like, I think you need to make a comic. Like, I would buy your comic.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And I'm sure you could find enough people out there to justify the time that take to get it going.
How would you like to be remembered?
Yeah, I always tell to my friends when they ask me, what do you want to become? And then I want to be a... really very artistic grandpa. That's
nice.
What I want to be remembered. I want
to
remember. Do you guys know Bob Rose? Is it the guy who did the TV show? I want to, he's sort of my ideal form. Like
the PBS landscape painting.
But what he paints is totally different. I don't want to paint what he does, but I want to be remembered as wow, that person was so good at art.
Yeah.
He was so passionate about what he was doing. And mm-hmm. then after I died, people still remember. I mean, I don't need to be... My name doesn't have to be remembered. I want to remember as a... Like Bob Rose. Some people don't recall his name. They usually say,
the guy with the afro hair.
Right? Maybe.
Where can people find you online?
You can find me at bns.net/apologies.
Cool.
And another portfolio as a illustrator.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Jace the Kim. blogs.blowspot.com.
Okay.
You can see my digital illustration work, which is totally different. You might see these two people is not the same person.
Yeah.
Because it's a so different style.
Yeah.
You can't really resemble these two. So I have a two different color. As one is an traditional artist and one is illustrator.
Cool. Hybrid.
Yeah.
Yeah, very hybrid. And then.
And do you use social media? Or?
Yes, I have a Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can find me.
And eHarmony.
Justin, don't be part of it. Yeah, but yeah, you can find me. You can type Jace the Kim. Yeah, Jace the Kim is my ID. Yeah, so you can search Jace the Kim or Jace Jeongyu Kim. Jeongyu is my Korean name.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can find me on Facebook or either Instagram. Yeah, and you can Google my name and you can see my work too.
Yeah, so I'm sure if you just go Jace Kim, Vancouver artist.
Yeah, yeah.
You're good to go.
Porn star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not that. Is it how he usually is?
Yes.
Is this? Oh, okay.
Normal behavior.
Unfortunately, yes.
I like that.
But as all of our listeners know, or maybe don't know, you can reach us on Twitter at making_convo. And our show is also on iTunes. Just search Making Conversation. And we are not the podcast about performance art. We are the podcast about art and design in Vancouver.
Yeah, I'm the extraordinary
one. Yeah. performance art in the sense of like musical theater and whatever. Yeah. So,
there's another podcast called Making Conversation.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, so we got mixed up, right?
Yeah, so some people might be getting the wrong thing, but just look for Justin Ulm and Sean Che.
The one with the pencil.
Yeah, there's a pencil that's got a microphone top, and you know, we're
made
all
the logo.
Us too.
Yeah. Oh, it's a collaboration. Yeah. So.
That's good.
We also have a website, makingconversation.ca, where all of our files are there as well, and show notes and links to our talented featured guests and our SoundCloud is linked into that site as well. Mm-hmm. So follow us on SoundCloud. Also, Making Conversation. And if you have any feedback about the show, there are two places you can send it. One, onto our iTunes page. Just write us a review.
Review the shit out of it.
Review it. Give us one star. Yeah. Tell everybody how much this show is a disappointment. or you can email us at feedback@makingconversation.ca. And once again, we'd like to thank Jace, Kim.
Yeah, thank you guys. Thank you so much.
Say hi to your ex-girlfriend.
Sean, come on. I'm gonna leave a feedback. Sean is too crazy.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, Justin, thank you so much for having me and Sean once again.
Thank you.
Yeah. You guys are so awesome. Yeah.
Thank you.